Welcome to MPN Update. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. I met with Dr. Ruben Mesa, and to begin, he commented on some of the key driver and somatic mutations in MPNs.
I think we're learning more and more every day about myeloproliferative neoplasms. I mean, certainly, if we go way in the past, it was even uncertain over these malignant diseases or not malignant diseases. When I trained, there were myeloproliferative disorders. And that was a reflection of, again, some uncertainty. Are these primary diseases or are they secondary causes? Clearly, the discovery of the JAK2 V617F and many efforts in parallel have identified that these are clonal neoplasms and that they fit very much in the family of myeloid disorders, right alongside the other chronic myeloid disorders of CML, of systemic mast cell disease, of clonal eosinophilic disorders, myelofibrosis, ET, and polycythemia vera are three chronic myeloid neoplasms that can all either progress to acute leukemia or progress along a path of progressive myelofibrosis. Now, we've discovered many things over the past years, and I use we in a very broad sense in terms of the MPN community. First, there are three key driver mutations that tend to be mutually exclusive that are present in the majority of individuals. Either a mutation in JAK2, that is the most common, the JAK2 V617F, or rarely in the exon 12, that accounts for the majority of patients with polycythemia vera, about half of those with essential thrombocythemia, and about half of those with myelofibrosis. Subsequently, mutations in calreticulin are the second most common mutations that are driver, and they are present in ET in about a third of patients and in MF about a third of patients, and then a small percentage with MPL mutations. So those are the driver. We believe they play an important part in the initiation and pathogenesis of those three MPNs. We don't know whether they are the initiating mutations. They may not be. And we make that conclusion based on familial cases where they may or may not be present, as well as individuals that don't have one of those three mutations. But they're a key part of the story. Now, additionally, we've learned that, like other myeloid disorders, there are many other additional somatic mutations that are important, and they may well be relevant in terms of the biology and help to explain that connection to other diseases. That includes everything from IDH1 and 2 mutations, EZH2 mutations, ASXO1, and indeed a whole broad spectrum. It's pretty clear that progressive disease is associated with an increase in those mutations. Some of them are clearly higher risk. They clearly can portend to a higher risk of either progression or death from the disease. I don't think that we fully have all of the molecular pathogenesis figured out yet, but we've come a long way over this past, let's say, 13 years from unclear pathobiology to now clear driver mutations to now additional somatic mutations that may have relevance in a range of issues as it relates to biology, pathogenesis, risk, and progression.